Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The UN is urging leaders to address mental health as the pandemic is adding to psychological distress around the world. This comes after a recent poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation found more than 4 in 10 Americans say stress from the pandemic has negatively impacted their mental health. Joining us now is Ken Duckworth, who serves as the Chief Medical Officer of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. Dr. Duckworth, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, and there was already a mental health crisis in this country before the coronavirus upended everything we know. What would you say is the state of our collective mental health right now?
Well, it really depends per individual. But, you know, we had a record number of suicides in 2018. And between overdose deaths and suicide, the American lifespan had actually been getting shorter in the last several years. So that gives you the pre-picture. Now you take on the added stress of what we call physical distancing, because you have to stay socially connected. Physical distancing, the threat of unemployment, and just the all-around anxiety that you or someone you love will get sick. And I think many people, you know, are experiencing, you know, more mental health concerns than ever before.
Obviously, this has made things more difficult for people who were already living with a mental health condition. But are you seeing a lot of people who didn't show any signs of depression or anxiety beforehand now saying, this is a real problem for me?
Yeah, is like a bell curve. Imagine, you know, the 20% of Americans who live with a mental health condition, and the bell curve has gotten pushed to the right. So more people are having anxiety panic that didn't have it before. More people are having agoraphobia. When you're reinforced to stay at home, you can get scared to leave your home. And more people are reporting depression. So, you know, addiction is another vulnerability. We don't really have data on that yet, but AA, NA, Smart Recovery, and all kinds of services are available online. But that's an additional risk for people who've been living in recovery from a substance use disorder. So I think people are feeling the stress, but perhaps one silver lining, Jeremy, I think people who haven't had a mental health condition before may have increased empathy and sensitivity for what it's like to live with a mental health condition going forward. And I have heard that comment from more than one person. I know what this is like now in a way that I didn't before, because I'm now having panic attacks.
Is the economic picture as devastating as the anxiety about the health problems associated with coronavirus? In other words, do you see mental health challenges rising as much because people are losing their jobs and their livelihoods as because they're afraid of what could come from the coronavirus?
Well, I think, you know, there's now multiple streams of stress. So some people have secure jobs but have mental health vulnerability. Some people are experiencing a lot of turbulence in their economic life and are developing mental health problems that didn't have them before. So I think, you know, what you find is that every person is individual, but this is really one of a kind, as I like to say to people when they ask me, this is my first pandemic, as it is for you, Jeremy, right? And so the stress of loss of economic, the stress of what we call physical distancing, the uncertainties and unknown qualities of what's coming. Like, we actually don't know when this is going to end, and you don't know, and I don't know if somebody I love is going to develop this. So the chronic unsettling uncertainty is a reality. And for millions of Americans, unemployment is a risk. And there is some data that unemployment and economic distress correlates with mental health vulnerabilities, clinical depression, and the potential for an increased rate of suicide.
Do you think it's going to be difficult to convince lawmakers in Washington that this is a major issue that's probably going to develop very quickly, if it isn't already, in this country as we make our way collectively through the coronavirus pandemic and all the effects of it?
The lawmakers have been pretty open to the idea that teletherapy should be covered, that some people don't have a computer, so you should be able to use your flip phone, These are things that the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services had not really considered before. What we're going to need is for them to show creativity as this becomes a more chronic phenomenon that we just have to learn to live with, because mental health is going to have a long tail. Every time I look at one of those virus charts, Jeremy, I think about the mental health post-traumatic impact of people who are losing loved ones, of healthcare workers who are getting psychologically traumatized, first responders who are, you know, exposed to, you know, a lot of bad outcomes. So I think the mental health piece is going to be with us for a long time. And I think that creative work will be needed on the policy side to think about best ways to deliver care to people.
What is the cost if we do not adequately address the nation's mental health right now?
It's pretty well established that untreated mental health conditions lead to not just suicide, which is, you know, of course, a huge problem, overdose, which, of course, are two things that you would think would be part of it. But it's bad for your heart to have an untreated depression. Your diabetes is more poorly controlled if you have untreated depression. If you have panic attacks, your ability to sustain your care and get chemotherapy for a cancer that might be treatable is limited. So I think there's a hidden cost that people will find in terms of their medical care. And then, of course, untreated mental health conditions make it harder to parent, harder to be in relationships, harder to contribute to your community. So I think that, you know, it's really important for us to take this moment where so many of us are feeling stress in mental health or are poorly sleeping or having panic attacks and realize that, you know, this is a common condition that many people live with, mental health problems, and that we need to treat them the same and we need to, you know, eliminate the shame.
I want to ask you one more thing. I saw one of your ads on TV, and everybody in it was saying it's okay to not be okay. Tell me a little bit about what that means exactly. It's okay to not be okay.
In our society, we're socialized to say we're doing okay. We've got this. We've got this covered. Your experience, whatever it is okay. So if you're an introvert and you're secretly enjoying some aspects of this, that's okay. But if you're a person who has having trouble accessing care for a recurrence of bipolar disorder and you need help, that's okay. Seek help. I find that messaging to be very loving and welcoming to the complexity of the human condition under stress. You know, it's okay not to be okay. Never worry alone. And, you know, reach out for help and, you know, you will find somebody.
That is Ken Duckworth, who is the Chief Medical Officer of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. Dr. Duckworth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you for taking up this important question.